Embiid with the fadeaway. Simmons and one. Express yourself.
Now he's their second leading scorer with Shade under 18.
Wow.
There you go.
Simmons on the attack again.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Monday, March 18. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. As we wrap up after every day of NBA action, just while repping Strayer a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so huge NBA weekend with LeBron having a game winner blocked. We had Lou Will hitting a game winner. Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo had a duel for the ages. Dwayne Casey can't lose to his old team. Nice one. That's all covered with weekend winners and losers. There's also the usual dumbassery if that's not a knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night. Better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's always, yeah, nah. There's always the unpopular opinion of the day. And there's always Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. We award our Dickhead of the Weekend. And there's a look at the odds, along with a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow. There's a whole bunch of them, actually, which is pretty cool. And we close out with a brand new Deli review, as Deli reviews a brand new Netflix film. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that one. All right, NBA Strayer, episode 247. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq.
You better watch out for the attack of the Super Mario Hazonia. That's right, Super Mario. If you're going to try to shoot a gamer at an MSG, you have to go past the Croatian sensation, Super Mario Hazonia. Love it. I don't know, but mainly it's just kind of like the Lakers couldn't beat the Knicks today, huh?
The Lakers stink!
That's right, Stephen A. Smith. So what else? We're going to bust out some news with the daily whip around. It's the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. Rusty Westbrook has been suspended after copping his 16th tech of the year. I'll probably say about 12 of them are spurious bullshit ones as well. Just saying. and Andrew Bogut, that's right, big bogey friend of the podcast, will join the Golden State Warriors in San Antonio today. And with DeMarcus Cousins listed as questionable tomorrow with a sore right foot, Big Bogey could play. It's all happening. How good's that? We expected March 21 to be March 18 America time by the time he gets there. So I'm going to be curious. Speaking of which, injury news. Boogie is having an MRI on that right foot. It's sore. Hopefully he comes up okay. Some weird ones for the weekend. CJ McCollum. It looked pretty bad. Everyone's like, oh shit, he's done his left knee. Turns out it's actually really good news for CJ. Poplitis strain in his left knee. In layman's terms, Jake Layman's terms, that's the muscle that locks and unlocks the knee joint, providing stability. So you definitely don't want to push it and strain it getting worse, because that means some bad shit can happen. But yeah, it's some of the ligaments in your knee and your patella tendon overcompensates. Interesting. Cool. The Celtics, Gordo and average Al Horford. Gordo Hayward strained his neck against the Hawks, and Horford has a knee tendonitis, and it's apparently sore. So, look, Hayward's in the concussion protocol, so he's probably not going to play against the Nuggets tomorrow, and average Al Horford is probable, but Brad Stevens came out after that game and said, if he wants to play, he can play. If he doesn't, it's all good. For the Wolves, there was no D-Rose or Al Jefe Teague versus the Rockets today. Everyone's kind of like, Jeff, is he all right? Oh, no. And he ended up sitting out. It's his foot. And Derek Rose did not play coach's decision, but has sort of been battling like a elbow injury, and neither of those guys played today. And for the Australians, yes, that's right. It broke over the weekend, but Dante Exum, after leaving the last game he played after 3 minutes with right knee pain, turns out he has suffered a partially torn patella tendon in his right knee and is sidelined indefinitely. Come on.
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
That's right, Stephen A. Smith. It is horrible. There is no other way to put it. Kills me. Poor son of Cecil, Kangaroo Kobe, out indefinitely. Just prayers up for Dante Exum. Love him. Just want him out there. Want him healthy. All right, let's do some weekend winners and some weekend losers, shall we? That's just what we do. It's a Monday.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye.
Love it. All right, weekend winners. As mentioned, obviously, Super Mario Hazonia. Right there, blocking LeBron means he gets to talk shit for basically forever. He stepped over Giannis Antetokounmpo this year as well, don't forget. And now he's blocked LeBron James and he's out there feeling himself. I love it. I just love me some Super Mario. He's out there, apparently. He said after the game, I was saying to Scott Perry and Steve Mills, if you sign me because of defense, you're crazy. I've never played like this. It happens, you know, especially now. If you look at guys like Klay Thompson and Kawhi and stuff like that, they are as effective on offense as they are on defense. And that's what the NBA needs right now to win. That's what teams need. I'm trying my best to be one of those type of guys. Mario, defensive stopper. Fuck yes. It's not that he just got lucky and blocked a LeBron James game winner. It's because he's now basically the Croatian Kawhi. I love it. What do you reckon about that one, Kawhi? Is that a good one? Yeah, that's what I thought. Other weekend winners, Dwayne Casey and his Detroit Basketball Pistons. They swept the Raptors, his former team, who shit-canned him after winning Coach of the Year last year. He goes to Detroit and then sweeps the Raptors every time they roll up against the Pistons. They're 3-0. How good's that? Give me that 2-7 playoff matchup, please. That'd be amazing. Could you imagine that? The Raptors running into their old mucker in the first round and sweating bullets. That'd be amazing. Unfortunately, though, the Pistons have bounced back from that horror 74 points and then 75-point run to win two straight, squeak back up to sixth as the Nets lost today. So they might put a bit of kibosh on it. Bloody Pistons. Come on, mate. Just go on a bit of a swoon again just to make sure you get that 7 seed. That'd be amazing. Raps versus Pistons 2-7. That's all I want. Other weekend winners, the Blazers. CJ looked done, and now he's going to be reevaluated in a week. That is a huge win for the Blazers. This could have been an absolute devastating injury where it's like, ah, fuck, there goes our season. Instead, it's like, oh, shit, he might be okay. It's a knee strain. Like, this looked really pretty fucking devastating too. So, but the Blazers, look, they're fighting in that morass in the middle of the West. That, what is it, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, basically, is all getting closer and closer and closer. There's 3.5 games separating 3 through 8. And Portland are right in the middle of it at 4th. So, look, for them to actually keep CJ McCollum maybe around, hopefully he gets back, you know, nice and healthy and he's all good. But, man, to not have lost him for the season is a massive win. So, good job, Blazers. Good job, CJ. Get well soon, mate. Other winners, Brad Beal and the Wizards. Well, kind of, but they're also kind of losers. Look, back-to-back 40-point games on the weekend for Brad Beal. Absolute superstar. The Wiz, still 3.5 games back and out of the playoffs. So they're losers because they should be tanking, but damn. I mean, good job for a couple of wins over the weekend, I guess. Ba-pow. Nah, they're definitely weekend losers as well. But Brad Beal, absolute winner. Sacramento are weekend winners because with their win over the Bulls today, they are now 34-35, and they officially have more wins than any season they ever had with DeMarcus Cousins. The most wins since 2007-08. That's a huge win. Did they win the Boogie Cousins trade? Shit and fuck yes. Holy crap. Crushing it. Other winners, the Spurs. They're winning me my money. That's right. As mentioned, I think last week, We belatedly realized that we took the Spurs 44.5 wins over under at the start of the season. And they're now at 41. So let's go, Spurs. They're on an 8-game winning streak. That's the longest streak in the NBA at the moment. They've gotten all the way up to 6th in the West, and they're only 1 game back from the Thunder in the 5th and 1.5 from 4th and getting home court advantage. That is wild. Absolutely wild. Of course, they're only 0.5 game up on 7 and 8 as well. The West is amazing. I love it. The Pelicans, they're weekend winners, but James, they've lost 6 straight. Yes. And that is how you fucking tank, son. They literally gave away a win to the Suns on Sunday to keep up that losing streak. Literally, they gave it up. They were like up 3 and there was like no time left. And they managed to give up a Josh Jackson 3 to tie it. And then Elvin Gentry got called for a tech with no time left and gave the Suns the win. It was, you've never seen it before. It was absolutely incredible. Yeah, calling a timeout when you don't have any timeouts, pretty good way to turn the ball back over. And yeah, Suns win. Good stuff, pals. That's some great tanking. And the Clippers, they're our final weekend winners. Sweet Lou Williams with the buzzer-beating game winner of the Nets. Clips, they're holding on, fighting for that 6-7-8 spot in the West as well. They're 41-30. They're just behind the Jazz. They're basically tied. They have one more loss, but also one more win. So, yeah, tough one there. But, yeah, good job, Clips. Crushing it. Cruising along. They've won something like, 8 of their last 9? Wild times. All right. Good stuff. That was some winners. How about some weekend losers, though?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser.
Losers. That's right. Weekend losers. How about LeBron James getting blocked by Super Mario? Hazonia, the Lakers have lost 3 straight. That also means that today, after losing to the Knicks of all teams, the Lakers are 31-39, which is the exact same record through 70 games that they had last season when they didn't have LeBron. What? That is absolutely wild. Their winning percentage of 0.443 is the worst team LeBron has played on since his rookie season with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's right. Stephen A. Smith, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland!
That's right. Absolutely wild. Crazy stuff. But yeah, getting blocked by Mario Hazonia, Super Mario himself, is just absolutely wild. So it's a tough loss for our Lakers fans, but you know, couldn't happen to a nicer fan base. you hate to see it. The Bucks are weekend losers. They lost Malcolm Brogdon. He was having a 50-40-90 season. Oh yeah, we didn't have him in the injury list because it kind of happened like Friday. But we think it came in too late for the actual show that we did on Friday. Yeah, weird. Anyway, but it is a plantar fascia tear for Brogdon, which is a tough one. And you just got to feel pretty bad for the guy, right? He had the MRI, comes out, minor plantar fascia tear in his right foot. He's going to be out, and it's kind of like 4 to 6 weeks it was kind of listed as, so he could be back for the second round of the playoffs, but geez. And the Bucks, so they lose Brogdon and they lost to the Sixers today as well in an awesomely entertaining game. But you feel like, yeah, they could have used a bit of a Melky Brog out there. El Presidente. 50-49 in shooting, averaging 15 points a game. I mean, look, Bucks will probably be okay. They're still the best record in the East and in the entire NBA. But it's a tough one. You don't want to lose too many dudes like Malcolm Brogdon. Other weekend losers, the Hornets. That's right. They had 75 points in a double win game against the Heat. That's right. The team that they're chasing for 8th in the East. And they shit the bed like a colicky fucking 3-year-old. 75 points. Mate, the Hornets, you're now just, like, you're not allowed to make the playoffs now. You don't deserve it after that shit show. Go home. Go back to North Carolina. I mean, most of your fans give way more of a shit about Duke in North Carolina anyway. So, yeah, that's just brutal. Hornets, 75 points in a must-win game. What are y'all doing? Other losers, the Nets. We predicted this in Friday's show. Their road trip is brutal. And they still have the Kings, Lakers, and Blazers to go on this road trip. So there's a very, very good chance that they go 0-6 on it. And they're sinking down the standings in the East. They should be fine. Look, they're basically 3 wins up on the Heat and the Magic. But they're only 1.5 games up on the Heat just in the standings. They're 1.5 games back of Detroit as well because Detroit have the 3 less losses than the Nets. So Yeah, rough as guts, though, for Brooklyn. And especially that loss to the Clips today really hurts. But anyway. Other weekend losers, Isaiah Thomas, he is just benched, so we'll talk about him in a second. And the Thunder, losing a heartbreaker to Indy and then got spanked by the Warriors without the coward snake Kevin Durant and slipping down the West standings. It's a tough one. It's a roller coaster of a year for the Thunder. But there you go. Tough one. All right, so let's get into some game wraps for the weekend. We're going to fly through all of the games. Yeah, Saturday, the Pistons smoked the Lakers in a late 80s finals rematch, 111-97. Philly beat Sacramento 123-114. That was a weirdly fun game too. Washington, somehow, I just don't know what the Wiz do, but they lost to Charlotte of all teams, 116-110, while Bradley Beal had a 45-5. Just unbelievable. 40 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Crazy. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. 113 winners over Miami, 98 in Miami. That's a tough one, but they got there. Good job, Milwaukee. Phoenix lost to Houston, 108-102. The Beard, James Harden, had 41-9-11. Portland, they beat the Pelicans. They were the Pelicans that night, 122-110. You know, once more beating the team that smoked them in the playoffs last year. The Knicks lost to San Antonio in another finals rematch, the 99 finals rematch, 109-83. And Chicago, they lost in LA, 128-121 to the Clips. Sunday, Boston beat Atlanta 129-120. Memphis lost in Washington 135-128. Wizards winning on a back-to-back is absolutely crazy. That much ballyhooed crazy ending between Phoenix and New Orleans, 138-136. Phoenix win that in overtime. As mentioned, Booker airballs a three when he's trying to tie the game. Alfred Payton turns the ball over when the Pelicans are trying to inbound it. So Phoenix get the ball back. Josh Pacey Jackson. Ties a game, hits a massive three, and then Elvin Gentry gives up a tech foul, and the Suns hit the free throw and win the game. A great moment in tanking history, basically. Holy shit, that was absolutely wild. Just inventing new ways to lose games are the Pelicans. The Pelicans. Cleveland, that's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
Lost to Dallas 121-116 in Dallas. Golden State, as mentioned before, beat OKC pretty handily in OKC without the coward snake Kevin Durant, 110-88. Steph had 33 in that one, and they schmocked him. The Spurs beat the Trailblazers 108-103 when CJ went down in that game. But handy win for San Antonio, as mentioned. Denver beat Indy 102-100 after the Joker. Nikola Jokic is tossed by Tony Brothers. We're going to talk about that in a second. 26-7-5 he had before being tossed. And Utah kicked the crap out of Brooklyn 114-98. And then today, the Knicks, as mentioned, beat the Lakers 124-123, all thanks to Super Mario Hezonja. Miami beat Charlotte 93-75. Philly beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee 130-125. Awesome game. We had Giannis versus Embiid. We'll talk about that in a second. Detroit beat Toronto. We also mentioned that 110-107. Orlando smoked Atlanta 101-91. Sacramento shit-pumped the Bulls 129-102 in the John Simmons Bowl. Minnesota lost to Houston 117-102. Clint Capella, Chris Paul, and James Harden all had 20-10 games in that. And James Harden shot zero free throws for the first time in a game since 2015. And Houston still smoked him. Minnesota didn't really have a point guard apart from Tyus Jones, but still. And as mentioned, finally, the Clippers beat the Nets 119-116 with an 8-0 run in the last 30 seconds to tie it. The Nets were like, oh, fuck, we're good. 5 seconds left. Lou Will gets the ball, shoots it from basically half court, nails it. Game over. What a massive three. Lou Williams, you are a star. With that in mind, let's get to the NBA Australia Pro Performance of the weekend.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Lou Williams, literally the game winner dagger from 40 fucking feet out. Bingo. Lou Williams, unbelievable. But the actual NBA Australia approved performance of the night might be Mike Scott having a bit of a swig of a fan's drink after jumping into the crowd on St. Paddy's Day. Unreal. You're an absolute legend, Mike Scott. Love that. In Milwaukee, absolutely crushes it. But at the same time, let's give this to Giannis Antetokounmpo and Joel Embiid. What a duel this was. Giannis has a monster line, career high in scoring. with 52 points against the Sixers. 52! He also had 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals and a block. Only one turnover. Goes 3 of 8 from 3 and 19 of 21 from the free throw line. So a 52, 16 and 7. And Joel Embiid, for his part, just threw in a lazy 40 points, 15 rebounds and 6 assists himself. Holy bejeebus, that was a good game. It was fun as hell as well. I don't know. Did you watch this? Because it was fucking wicked. Embiid shot 15 of 31, 4 of 13 from 3. He was left open on a bunch of those, but he also had 3 steals and a block and only one turnover too. This was absolutely unreal. They were also the first opposing players to have 40 points and 15 rebounds at least in a game since 1966. Jesus. All right, but the cool thing is the NBA Stray Approved Performance of the Night was Giannis dunked on our boy, Box Hill Benny, Big Simo Ben Simmons, calls him a baby. He's a fucking baby. Giannis, and I'm like, oh, fuck, now I've got to fight Giannis. 10 seconds later, Big Simo Ben Simmons comes back up the other end of the court and has a put back right on top of fucking Giannis's head in your face, Greek freak. Sixers win it. And how good would a 7-game series between these two games be? Oh, jeez. Unfortunately, the Sixers look like they'll be the 3 seed. And I mean, that's a Eastern Conference Finals if they both make it. But at the same time, with Giannis and Ben Simmons, I want to give a little bit of love and an NBA Australia pre-performance tonight to the refs in that game. That's right. You had Giannis dunking on Simmons and then Simmons dunking on Giannis. You got Joel Embiid doing crazy shit. Everyone's flexing. Everyone's yelling. They're staring at each other. It was fucking awesome. So, thank you, refs, for letting them play and showing their competitive spirit in an intense game of basketball, letting their emotions run just a little bit and not have it fucking stepped on by some dipshit in black and white calling text for someone looking at somebody else. Nobody got hurt. There were no punches thrown. Everyone's egos are still fucking fine. We all get to go and do this all again, hopefully in the playoffs. This is what NBA fans want to see. They want to see some emotion from their dudes. They don't want to see fucking refs give tech fouls to players just for dunking on somebody and having a look at them afterwards. So, Zach Zarba, Mark Aiotti, and he's a guy who's like fucked up a couple of times, and Murat Kogut, well fucking played. Well played, NBA refs. Love ya. Thank you for not fucking this up for everybody. Also, Simmons, Giannis, Embiid, unbelievable. What about Old Mate No Mates for the weekend, though?
Old Mate No Mates. Old Mate No Mates.
Who's got No Mates today? Oh, fuck. Isaiah Thomas. Yep, it just hurts. It just hurts my heart. Because, look, he's out of the rotation. The Nuggets are like, nah, we're better without him. And he's going back to Boston. And he probably won't see the court. It's a tough one. And he meant so much to Boston in that little run. But at the same time, he goes down, plays pickup on campus at, where was it? Somewhere in Boston. Yeah, hangs out and plays up against some dudes. The best thing is he's playing against, like, you know, these kids from uni, taking all these photos and shit. Pretty cool. And they're all taller than him. It's like just some guys at the YMCA are still fucking taller than IT4. It's a tough one, man. Good on him, though, he's actually out there tweeting up a bit of a storm, just saying, you know, it's all right. Oh, there you go. He went to Emerson College. That's awesome. The Recu Center. Oh, the BU Rec Center on Comm Avenue. And he went there. Nice. Good stuff. But anyway, he's talking about, you know, just about being a good teammate and all that sort of stuff. You know, it burns him up on the inside. That kills me. I just want him to, have a bit of a crack, be a bit better. And he's just been shit this year. So the fact that he's been benched, it's kind of shit. But it's best for the Nugs. We all know this. Still hurts my heart. Anyway, Isaiah Thomas, definitely old mate, no mates. Well handled by Mike Malone as well. Yeah, we need our 8 best players. Sorry, you're not in it, Isaiah. Yeah, tough. All right, what about Spud of the night, though?
Spud of the night.
Spot of the night. Spencer Dinwiddie went 7-16 versus Utah yesterday and then backed it up with an absolute Barry Crocker of a shocker of 2-16 versus the Clippers today. That's fucked, man. But come on, man. Like, Spencer, love you, but Jesus, how about LeBron James? Goes 4-15 in the fourth quarter today against the Knicks. With those 11 missed shots being the most he has ever missed in a quarter in his entire NBA career. LeBron James, you sputtered it up, sir, and your Lakers lost to the Knicks.
MSG just brings out the best of everybody, bro.
11 missed shots. That's spud-worthy. Panting the night obviously just goes to Super Mario because he blocked the shit out of LeBron, which is pretty cool. But also, the Lakers got swept by the Knicks this season. Don't know if you remember back earlier in the year, the Knicks beat the Lakers in LA, which is absolutely wild because the Knicks have got, like, what, 3 NBA players left? They're beating the Lakers. Absolutely brutal. But there you go. Panting the night, LeBron James. You could literally feel the end of his prime end at that exact point when Super Mario blocked him. Good job, Super Mario. All right, who is better than Lonzo Ball for the weekend? What do you reckon about this? Lonzo Ball, Trae Young, whatever.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, that's right. Better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball. Trae Young was actually pretty good on the weekend. 26-4-4 versus Boston. Backed it up today with a 26-5 against Orlando. But we've got a couple of good ones. Marvy Bagges against the Bulls. He's back from injury, smashing at 21 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists today. That was pretty good. But we're going to give it again. I think he's won it 4 times in like the last 6 days. The Sex Man, Colin Sexton, 28 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. Shoots 10 of 17 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3. In his last 5 games, the Cleveland Cavalier is averaging 26.4 points, 3.8 assists, 2.6 rebounds, shooting 55.7% from the field and 51.5% from 3. That is absolutely unbelievable. Going up against the Mavs, he just whipped it out and started kicking ass. That was fucking great. Another weird thing to come out of that Mavs game as well, though, that we've got Dirk Nowitzki, 4 points within Wilt Chamberlain for 6th all-time in the NBA scoring list. Nice. But the Sex Man, absolutely smashing at the moment. Overlooked part of his year as well is that he's shooting 40% from 3 for the entire season with a shit ton of attempts. He's averaging 6.6, well, 3.2, I guess, for the entire season, but 6.6 over his last 5 stretch. Pretty bloody good, man. Pretty good. Yeah, so, I mean, he's upped his 3-point attempts, and he's shooting them better. So all the way through March, he's shot 41% from 3. Which is pretty bloody good. Well, through Feb and March, he's at over 42%. So pretty great, mate. Even going all the way back to January, he's shooting over 40% from 3. So it just doesn't feel like it's just a bit of a hot streak. He's just sort of, you know, adapted and is crushing it. Good stuff, Sex Man. Definitely better than Lonzo Ball because he couldn't hit the side of a fucking bun if you gave him $20. And Trae Young has been hot and cold, but, you know, Trae Young's been pretty good. But hey, man, got to give some love to the Sex Man. Good stuff. All right, what about finally Dickhead of the Weekend?
Dickhead of the Week!
And Tony Brothers, we just talked about how good some refs are, and then Tony Brothers goes out and smashes the quickest 2-tech throwout you'll ever fucking see on the Joker Nikola Jokic. Holy shit. Yes. Nikola probably swore very vociferously at Tony Brothers. But also at the same time, Tony, have some fucking chill and just give him the one and then give him another warning. And if he keeps going at you, then you throw him. But Jesus Christ, it was tech. Tech! And you're like, oh man, it's like 4 minutes left of this game. The craziest part is, like, the shit that Draymond Green gets away with every single fucking game. Joker is literally thrown out with 2 minutes left in a game. Versus, like, all the shit that Draymond does day in, fucking day out is beyond the pale. Same thing goes for Rusty. He's getting text based on fucking nothing at this point. It's the sort of boogie corollary, right? Where it's like, oh, I think you're being mean to me, so tech foul. And Rusty's like, what the fuck, man? Jesus. Whereas Draymond acts like a fucking pork chop and nothing happens. Jesus. Literally, Draymond goes apeshit, no technical, fucking, like, left, right, and center. DeMarcus, remember him throwing a shoe out of the way for safety reasons and he got a fucking tech? absolutely rubbish. The best part about this, though, was Thad Young slapping Tony Brothers' butt after the second tag. He's like, yes, thank you, Tony. Hey, there you go, pal. Bang. Absolutely wild. Anyway, so Tony Brothers, dickhead of the weekend for kicking Nikola Jokic out there with the quickest two-tech throwout you'll ever see. I'll tell you that much. Anyway, all right, let's get to Yeah Nahs right after, let's say, this one.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one is Clyde Frazier. Correct when he says that LeBron James doesn't really care and isn't part of the Lakers. Yeah Nah. Oh, I think he, yeah, nah, look, I think he does care. I'm not entirely convinced he's really a part of the Lakers either. Just because there's like a clearly like a weird separation between him and like the rest of the players on that team. And the fact that like the Lakers fans are still very fucking arming and ahhing on his entire like presence there is pretty telling, right? I mean, we had Lakers fan Tim on the show on Friday, and he's still kind of like, yeah, it's fucking weird. So, Clyde, I feel like he's attuned to the idea of, like, what players feel like as well. And if he's saying LeBron doesn't really care and isn't part of the Lakers and doesn't fit in, I'd be more inclined to believe him. It's just a bit weird still. Number two, should Ray Allen come out of retirement to sign with the Rockets? If I were Ray Allen, yeah, as a fan... Nah, because Ray Allen's a fucking weirdo. Send some more creepy sex tweets, Ray, you weirdo. Anyway, Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, was saying, Ray Allen, you know we've been obsessively chasing you for years. We think you're perfect for our system. Come to the Rockets, win another championship. It's time. So Daryl's out there trying to get a hold of him. Ray's kind of like, oh, I'm really hard to get a hold of, unless you're a hot bird that I want to, like, weird... sex tweet with. Maybe Daryl Morey should catfish him, and that's the only way to get him into a Rockets uniform. Catfish him and then blackmail him about it. I love it. Get around it. But oh man, just imagine Ray Allen and their fucking Rockets team. Just what they need, another dead-eye three-point shooter. Next up, does the Malcolm Brogdon injury put a downer on the chances of the Bucks actually making the finals? Yeah, it does a little bit, but at the same time, he's not going to play another regular season game. But he could be back, what, midway through the second round into the East Finals if they make it that far. Coolest part is he made the 50-40-90 club. He shot 50.5% from the field, 42.6% from three, and 92.8% from the line. And he made all the volume cutoffs as well, so he's an official 50-40-90 guy. But look, it's going to be pretty interesting to see how Brogdon and the Bucks sort of take this, like, he's the ideal sort of fourth option for them. And like the way he plays and the way they utilize him is pretty impressive, right? And it's like, it sort of fits perfectly around Giannis, around Brook Lopez, around Chris O'Middleton. The thing is, I mean, the Bucks can also kind of replace him at least with his shooting, because it's not so much that he's out there running point all the time next to Bledsoe. It's just that he's kind of an extra handy, like, release valve. Every time he picks his spot and shoots, you know, it's probably for a pretty good reason. And he can also, you know, hit shots late. But at the same time, I mean, they've got Pat Connaughton, you got Tony Snell, you got DiVincenzo even. You got Sterling Brown out there. So you can sort of throw somebody in there and get, you know, hope for the best and just like think that, like, as long as we can have some shooting and defense out there, it's going to be all good. But I don't know. I feel like he just adds like this real level of like level-headedness to their team. That will probably be very, very fucking handy in the playoffs. But, I mean, like, think about it. The Bucks can still just roll out there with Eric Bledsoe, Middleton, Giannis, Nikola Mirotic, hello, look at the very thick beard, and Brook Lopez as their lineup, and probably not miss a beat, but I don't know, man. Feels like he'd be pretty important against Toronto, checking Lowry and co. Maybe not so much against Philly, just he'd be good for his shooting. Boston, definitely, for him covering Kyrie and co. Yeah, it's a tough one. But, look, if he gets back second round of the playoffs, they should be, like, kind of cruising. But, I don't know. It might make it a little bit more, a little bit trickier for the Bucks to make it that far. Yeah. I don't know. I really like El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon. I don't know if you can tell because I've just spent like a minute and a half talking about him. All right. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I think Alfred Payton is still weirdly underrated. Right. So against the Suns, his old team, Alfred Payton, throws out a 16-point, 16-rebound, 13-assist triple-double in less than 40 minutes. He's only the third player in NBA history to do that. The other two are Russell Westbrook and Nikola Jokic. Jesus. Like Magic Johnson, Harden, Oscar Robertson never had a 16-16-13 triple-double in less than 40 minutes. Alfred Payton. It's kind of weird that people just like just go, oh, he can't shoot, he can't play. Well, I don't know. I feel like he does a lot of other good things. You know, Proto Rondo. Rondo 2.0, maybe. See how we go. All right, and finally, it's Monday. You know what that means at Outback Takehouse? It means Davo's definitely hit an emu in his ute, thrown it in the back. It means you guys get Alice Springs chicken for Monday specials at Outback Takehouse. Goes great as a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is LeBron James is deliberately tanking the Lakers season so that he can definitely get stuck into pre-production for Space Jam 2, and it starts on time in April this year. Only at Outback. I'm not entirely sure if that's a flame grill take because I'm pretty sure that's just what LeBron's doing. He's like, ah, fuck it. What, Mario Hezonja's going to block my shot? Who cares, man? I got a movie to make. You moved to Hollywood, man. You changed, man. You changed. All right. We'll be back with the Australian Player Watch right after this.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right. Australian Player Watch. Oh, how good is the old Ramshackle Army? It's pretty good, isn't it? How was your Paddy's Day? We popped into the pub with the little man, his first Paddy's Day. Sitting on the outdoor table, sinking a pint. Loved every second of it, he did. Even the missus, old mate, she jumped in there. She had a drink too. I reckon it was her first beer in about a year. And she's always on the ciders, but, well, not always, you know, just on the odd occasion, but still. That was great. Love Paddy's Day. A lot of fun. Anyway, so there you go. Hope yours is good. Big Simo, Ben Simmons. A couple of games over the weekend for the Sixers. Saturday versus Sacramento. He had 18 points, 5 assists, 2 rebounds and a steal. And then today over the Bucks when he wasn't yamming on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Oh, how good was that one on Brook Lopez? Jesus. He had 8 points, 9 rebounds and 9 assists, 4 of 8 shooting. His last 4 games, he's had 28 assists to 6 turnovers. Nice. Unfortunately, Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, didn't get out there for either of those games. Two did not play coaches' decisions. Tough one for Jonah. Now that Boban and Amir Johnson are back both healthy, I don't know, it feels like he's a better stretchier 4-5 though, for especially teams like the Bucks, right? When they were out there playing Lopez, like who's going to fucking chase Brook Lopez around the perimeter? Boban? Amir Johnson? Get Jonah out there. Anyway. Jingling Joe Ingles, the jingler, in the win over Brooklyn on Sunday for the Jazz. The Yaz, it's a soft J. 2 points, 1 of 5 shooting, 0 of 3 from 3. Ugh, that's not great, Jingles. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal in his 30 minutes, though. And as mentioned, Kangaroo Kobe, Dante Exum, son of Cecil, the Seaford sensation, is out for the year with the partially torn patella. That sucks. Well, he's out indefinitely, but I can't imagine he's going to be back. Considering it took him 2.5 months to come back from the sprained ankle, yeah. Overcompensation, clearly, and that fucking sucks. King Daly of Maribor, first of his name, Smasher of Tin, still out in the concussion protocol. That means Deng Adel still on Cleveland's active roster, but he did not play against Dallas, did Deng Adel. Speaking of Dallas, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff didn't get out there against Cleveland either. He got another DMP CD, so he had a couple of matching Australian DMP CDs. Patty Mills, Patty Drills in the win over the Knicks. He had 9 points, went 4 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3, but he threw in 5 assists and 1 rebound, pretty good. And his win over his old team against Portland, he had 12 points, 3 of 9 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, with 4 assists, 1 rebound and 1 steal. Smashed it, mate. Kung Fu Thon Song for the Detroit Pistons. The win over the Lakers, he played 16 minutes, pretty good. He had 4 points, though. 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 of 2 from 3. And that was all of his shots, basically. Hit one of two free throws as well. And the win over the Raptors today, he had 7 points, 2 of 5 from the field, 0 of 3 from three, 3 rebounds and 2 blocks. Aaron Bangers Baines in the win over Atlanta for the Celtics on the weekend, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 steal. Also had 4 fouls in 17 minutes, which I'm attributing 100% to anti-Australian bias. Just because he's built like a cement truck doesn't mean you have to give him all the fouls, refs. Jesus. But in that game, Bangers did go 1 of 1 from 3 because he's an absolute fucking sniper, which means he's up to 14 of 42, I think, on the year. Pretty bloody good. Nice one. And as mentioned, we'll be able to add Andy Bogut back into the Australian Player Watch as of tomorrow if he hits the pine against the Spurs, which would be pretty bloody good. Good to see him back out there for the Warriors. Nice. We'll check up on all the G League guys on Wednesday, but Mitch Creek absolutely smashed it, 20 and 10. Keep an eye out for more Mitch Creek material this week, just saying. But you know what we do on a Monday? Oh, I love this. It's time for the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first and you won the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award. Yes, clap it up, keep clapping. Ah, there we go. Yes. That's right, and this week's winner of the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence is Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's right, I think he hasn't won it for a while because I've been kind of holding off because he's my MVP so far for the season. So, you know, an Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence Award, it's kind of moot, really. But damn, man, the last couple of games, win over the Heat. In a bit of a trap game, when the Bucks are traveling, they go to Miami. Giannis goes out there and fucking throws down a 33-point, 16-rebound, 9-assist game on 12 of 19 shooting, and they win the game. And then he goes hammer and tongs with the Sixers without Malcolm Brogdon, with Chris Middleton just not fucking showing up at all, and goes off for a career-high 52 points on 15 of 26 shooting. That is unbelievable. 3 of 8 from 3, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block, 2 steals, 19 of 21 from the free throw line. And God knows, Andrew Gazy Gaze knows that that's how you make your money and get your points at the charity stripe. And his shot chart from this game is absolutely wildly Maury ball. It's all threes above the break or dunks and layups. And that is fucking it. Absolutely wild. So there you go. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you are our Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award winner for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence for today and for this week. Absolutely wild times. God, he's good to watch, isn't he? All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board and some game previews right after this.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back into the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board, and Patty Mills was all over Twitter on the weekend. Tweeted out. He's obviously rocked up to a coffee place in San Antonio, and he said, "Is it self-serve sundaes for St. Patrick's Day? No, but seriously, your door is unlocked, so we are standing on guard like security at the moment." this is literally at Brown Coffee Co. The weirdest part is, Patty, I'm not entirely convinced that it's open, mate, because it says on the front of it, opening here soon, Brown Coffee Co. So I don't know if you managed to go to a place that isn't open yet, but yeah. just saying, it's pretty weird. But that was pretty funny. On you, Patty Mills. I also like that they are sort of standing around like security, just going, "Hey, no, door's open. Shouldn't go in though." Great stuff, great stuff. All right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow. We've got 9 games. Joyce, let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's the weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty good. You know that. I was pretty fucking hungover yesterday, I'll tell you that much.
I can imagine you really got on the turfs on Saturday.
Yeah, and then it was St. Paddy's Day yesterday.
Oh, geez.
Thanks, man. I'll tell you, Inadvertent Bane loves a bit of the dark stuff, the Guinness.
I was born in the dark. You only grew here.
That's right. All right, Tuesday, we got 9 games. Let's have a look at the odds and make some picks and give you a bit of a preview as well. So we have the Detroit Basketball Pistons at Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. The Pistons are 7.5-point favorites in Cleveland, which I kind of might take. The Pistons are playing pretty well. The Cavs are a bit of a rabble. The Cavs, though, haven't been as bad as you'd sort of think over the last little while. I think they're only like one game under 500 or something, like since All-Star. They did put up 116 against the Mavs. They put up 91 against the Magic. They got shit pumped there. They lost to the Sixers. They beat the Raps, don't forget. Look. Yeah, I'll take the Pistons. -7.5. Pistons are pretty good. They're kind of cruising along too. Cavs, they're defensively a bit of a shit show. And it's not much of a road travel. So give me the Pistons. Jazz, they go to Washington to take on the Wizards. And the Wizards are 4-point underdogs at home. I'll take the Yaz. The Yaz are very, very good. The Wizards are not very good at all. Just saying. The Nuggets go to Boston. This should be an absolute cracker. Isaiah Thomas back in Boston for the... he still hasn't played, actually, since he got traded in Boston. So it's pretty weird. Nuggets are 3.5-point underdogs on the road in Boston. Boston, do they really deserve to be 3.5-point favorites over anybody at home? Maybe. But if Al Horford does not play in this one, I don't know how they control Nikola Jokic. So I might take the Nuggets. If they're getting 3.5 points, I'll take the Nugs. They are very good. The Knicks go to Toronto to play the Raptors, and the Knicks are 13.5-point underdogs on the road. And look, they beat the Lakers today. The Raptors lost. I might take the 13.5 points for the Knicks. They do end up scoring a shit ton out of nowhere and sort of throwing people for a bit of a loop. Toronto with a back-to-back, who knows who's playing as well. Like, no Kyle Lowry, probably. Yeah, look, Knicks might just cover. 13.5 points, they might lose by 12, but still a cover. The Heat versus the Thunder. Oh, it's a 2012 NBA Finals rematch. Thunder, 4.5-point favorites at home against the Heat. I'll take that. I think the Heat are on the road weirdly better than they are at home, but the Thunder need a get-right win, and I feel like they might lock in for this one. Oh, but wait, they'll be able without Rusty. Ooh, that's a tricky one. Give me the Thunder anyway. I think they win pretty handily. Warriors travel to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. Spurs are 2.5-point underdogs at home. I'll take the Warriors -2.5. I think they should be fine and smash the Spurs. The Pelicans travel to Dallas. Dallas are 4.5-point favorites over the Pelicans. I don't think that's right. I'll take the Pelicans +4.5. Thank you. They play teams a lot tougher than Dallas do. But that'll be fun because we get the Dirk Nowitzki probably passing Wilt Chamberlain in the all-time scoring list, which would be great. Bulls play the Suns. The Suns are 3-point favorites at home, which is absolutely nuts. I'll take the Bulls, thank you, +3. Bulls are slightly better than the Suns and just can score pretty easily, I reckon. Suns can here and there, but just a lot more up and down. And finally, the Pacers visit the Blazers. The Blazers are 3.5-point favorites at home versus the Pacers. I'll take the Blazers. I think Dame goes absolutely bananas on Indy and Darren Collison. And the Blazers, even without CJ, kick some ass and take some names. Noice! All right, that's it. Unreal. That's it for today. We're back tomorrow with all the usual ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're all over the socials during the games. Check us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, all that sort of stuff, Google Podcasts, whatever weird podcast app you use on Android, just mash 5 stars if they've got it. That'd be really good. Check us out on Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, all that sort of stuff. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. They are releasing their debut album on March 29 and launching it April 12 at the Old Bar. I will be there. I'll see you there. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australia bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new deli review of the Netflix movie Triple Frontier. Nice. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, hoser. When you're low, what's up, lace?
after old mate Deli over here. Just swinging by for my usual pop culture review on NBA Australia, eh? So, look, and I'll tell ya, your old mate Deli over here is a bit dusty after a pretty big St. Paddy's Day. And I know you're all like, oh, but Deli, don't you have a concussion, mate? Shouldn't you be taking it easy and laying off the piss? And to that I say, fuck off, nerd. If anything else, the 20 pints of Guinness I fucking had yesterday straightened me bloody vision out. I'll tell you that much. Fucking nothing cures anything quicker than Guinness, eh? Tell you. I mean, have you ever seen a sick Irishman? Fucking nah. So, yeah, look, with me being on sick leave and shit, I took the missus to the pub for Paddy's Day. We got a bit shit-faced, but it was bloody great, mate. Turns out Cleveland's got some pretty fucking sick Irish bars. Just went down to a couple of them, did some dancing, did some drinking, did some rooting. Just the classic Paddy Day. Love it. So it's pretty good. So, yeah, but I'm a bit worse for today. Yeah, no, right? Fucking, oh, jeez. But I reckon it's cleared up my concussion, no problem. So here's hoping those dork doctors clean me this week and I get back on the fucking court. Get out there fucking shredding for the Cavs. So anyway, in the meantime, I've been doing a lot of sitting on the couch watching telly, and I'm all loaded up from a review for you this week. The best bit is, did you see the movie that they released on Netflix, though? Fucking Jax Teller from fucking Sons of Anarchy and Ben fucking Affleck. Oh, shit, they're probably two of my best favourite actors after The Rock. He's the number one ever, for, of course, obviously, but yeah, mate, so it's like called Triple Frontier. It's also got that prick from Star Wars in it, Poe Dameron or whatever. And the prick who played the Viper who got his fucking head mashed in Game of Thrones. And that kid who was in, like, fuck, what was he in? Tron or some shit? I don't fucking know. Anyway, so, like, them, they're all, like, these old army blokes and shit, and they need to get back together for one last job to steal a bunch of money from some drug lord or whatever in, like, South America and shit. And, look, my entire favourite genre of movie is when you get the gang together for one last job. So I fucking loved it. And I've got to tell you, Triple Frontier, it's fucking great, mate. It's like Predator mixed with Lone Survivor, mixed with Saving Private Ryan, mixed with Avengers, mixed with Ocean's 11, mixed with Fast and Furious 6, but with fucking Batman and the cunt from Sons of Anarchy in it. Fucking yes! How good is that? So, well, I don't know, man. Like Poe from Star Wars and like that Leighton Hewitt, Llewyn Davis, yeah, whatever he played, gets all his old mates back together and shit, and it's all like harrowing and tough and brutal, and they're in the jungle and they're shooting and shit. Like, you're on bloody tents and hooks the entire fucking time, you know. Tents and hooks, just so many of them. And just when you think you can relax, like, nah, shit wilds up and it's fucking great. So, look, I'm not going to give anything away. It's just really fucking well-directed movie too. Like, the bloke who did it, like, he did that fucking boring-ass movie, Most Violent Year, and that pretty fucking sick one with that old prick, All Is Lost and shit. So, really just shows you, though, how tough it is for vets who come back and have their lives turned inside out and how rough it is for them to try and make a go of it, you know? So it really makes you think. Anyway. But it's also just a fucking great action movie, you dickhead. So it gets like 18 out of 10 Deli ones. Oh, I fucking loved it. So get your peepers around it, pronto. So look, there you go. Watch Triple Frontier. Your old mate Deli over here fucking loved it. And I'll be back next week with a new pop culture review for yous. Noise. All right. Later, cunts. Deli out.